Oh, John Kerry's Mideast peace talks have gone nowhere. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for the Council for the National Interest at councilforthenationalinterest.org. U.S. military and financial support for Israel's permanent occupations of the West Bank and Gaza Strip is immoral, and it threatens national security by helping generate terrorist attacks against our country. And face it, it's bad for Israel, too. Without our unlimited support, they would have much more incentive to reach a lasting peace with their neighbors. It's past time for us to make our government stop making matters worse. Help support CNI at councilforthenationalinterest.org.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. This is my show, The Scott Horton Show. And the next guest on the show is Philip Weiss. He keeps the all-important blog Mondo Weiss, The War of Ideas in the Middle East, and he's got a great group of writers over there, including Adam Horowitz and Alex Kane and a whole bunch of others there. Welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Good, Scott. How you doing?
Sorry. You can tell I'm a little bit distracted. I'm doing okay. Thank you for joining us. Listen, so you guys are doing such great coverage of Israel's war on Gaza. If it's got to be called a war, I think I'll put it that way.
I like it.
So thank you for that. I really do appreciate it. And it's important, the voices that you give access to over there and all that, too. So could you please tell us the latest on the ceasefires? Who's proposing and accepting and rejecting what? It's hard for me to keep track over here, Phil.
I don't know. I think the latest, I haven't followed that real closely. The latest I heard is that Hamas had rejected a ceasefire proposal from yesterday, but I don't know what the latest is today. I know that for Hamas, it's essential that they get something out of this ceasefire, that they get a lifting of the blockade that has been with them for 7 years now, that has not allowed Palestinians to live normal lives, anything like a normal life under occupation. So I think both sides are kind of dug in at this point. Palestinians in Gaza have lost so much at this point. Nearly as many people as died in Cass Lead 5 years ago, and they want something for that. They want some change and in conditions. So I think that there is some willingness on the part of the people there to continue this fight from their standpoint, from the Hamas standpoint. If they can't get an improvement in conditions.
Yeah. Well, to me it's frustrating just because it means that this slaughter will continue. And I can understand, though, of course, from their position, and I don't mean Hamas, but I mean the people of Palestine, why at some point they would say, the status quo is unacceptable. We'd rather keep fighting. And yet, there's no fight to it at all. It's just a slaughter, a one-sided slaughter. It's just going on. And in fact, I heard a CNN reporter live on CNN say, I'm 90% sure, Phil, it was CNN, I guess, that, quoting Palestinian civilians as taking that exact position they just said, not Hamas members taking that position, but
yeah.
Palestinian civilians saying, no, we'll go ahead and keep fighting, thanks, rather than lay down to your terms that are at least as bad as we were off 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. Now, and I would say that I think that I heard that on NBC, actually, or a similar line on NBC. Mm-hmm. And I think that the good thing about this conflict this time, it's a horrifying thing to have to say, but what all these deaths and injuries are producing is a change in the Western attitude. And so today we saw the White House, according to the Associated Press, the White House today condemned the Israeli attack on a Palestinian school that killed, I think, a dozen or maybe more people yesterday. And this is the first time that I've seen the White House condemn an Israeli attack. And it was the way for that was paved by Obama expressing anger about all the Palestinian deaths earlier this week to Netanyahu. So we're seeing a shift in the American mainstream, and I think that's vital. It's the shift that happened on the left and the center and you know, on the libertarian right, too, with the Cass Lead massacre of 5 years ago, I think is beginning to happen now in the mainstream.
Yeah. All right, now I'm sorry, it is speculation, and I'm just asking you to speculate, but do you have a educated guess as to the tension between Obama and Netanyahu there and just how stern a lecture Obama gave him? Of course, there was what everybody seems to agree was a hoax transcript of a phone call between them that begins with Obama saying, "I demand that you stop," and Netanyahu saying no. And that was why I knew it was a hoax right away, was because it seems like Obama would never talk to Netanyahu like that. But then I wonder, well, I don't know, how stern of a talking to do you think Obama gave him, and just how stern resistance do you think he's getting back? How do you measure that? I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe
well,
it's a stupid
love
question. I'm sorry, but
I love the hoax. You know, if it is a hoax, I don't know. I mean, it reads. To me, it makes sense that they would be acting out those parts in that way. That being said, what we know for a fact is that this week, the Netanyahu government high officials have characterized John Kerry as aiding terrorists by pushing for a ceasefire on terms that are, you know, favorable to the people of Gaza or allow people to live a normal life in Gaza. So, and John Kerry struck back yesterday saying, "Hey, I have I had a great voting record for Israel when I was in the Senate for 29 years or whatever." And so you see this kind of open hostility between Israel and the United States. That's a great thing. I think that it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that the special relationship might actually begin to fall apart, and we will see this ally for what it is, which is a rogue militant state.
It's funny, though, that all Kerry can say is, "Nuh-uh, I'm more Likud than Likud," instead of, "Hey, listen, in this case, you guys are really out of line, and you need to get back in it," you know?
Right. Although, you know, he's a diplomat, and presumably in private, he's saying some of that. And I think they've, I mean, you know, from my lips to God's ears, but I think they've had it with these folks. They warned them again and again that they were alienating world opinion with their behavior and their occupation, and maybe now they're finally washing their hands of Israel. Obviously, the Congress is bought and paid for. The media has a lot of embeds, but we're reaching a point where even the media, you cited CNN, I cited NBC, the politicians will be able to take a stance against Israel or critical of Israel when the media begin to give them cover, and that is what we're seeing. We are seeing endless images of Palestinian children blown to smithereens by the Israeli forces, and the Israeli government and its friends in the United States are involved in this absurd question of whether you're showcasing civilian deaths or overplaying them on the media. When you begin that type of argument, you have lost, and yeah. I think Israel has lost.
Yeah, got that right. Yeah, every time one of these Israeli trolls tries to come after me on Twitter, I just tell them, "Keep typing, pal. You're just digging your own grave."
Ridiculous. That's great. That's great.
So, okay, I guess, you know, my former stupid question there a minute ago is coming from a presumption that Obama's the president of the world. He's the global dictator. What he says goes, and I'm thinking back, and you could probably help me straighten out my anecdote a little bit, but wasn't there something like Ronald Reagan called Menachem Begin and said, "Stop bombing Beirut," and the guns fell silent within a minute and a half or so, and Reagan said, "Hey, I could do that? Wow, cool." And I guess I just thought that if any American president says, "Hey, listen, now I'm not asking you, now I'm telling you, knock it off," that would be the end of that, because how can the Israelis resist that when America is all they got?
Well, I agree with you about the logic. I didn't know about the Reagan-Begin
I may have my prime minister wrong, but
I like it, but no, I mean, that was the right era. But I think, you know...
Yeah, I probably screwed that up.
Well, we're dealing with a spineless... I mean, our president has shown himself to be spineless on a number of occasions, and yet we know that he cannot get along with Netanyahu. We can see it in the body language. We can hear it from the inside reports. This guy does. They don't get along, and they don't get along for good reason, because Netanyahu is destroying our image in the world. And
he's not worried about it. That's the thing of it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Just one sec.
phone records, financial and location data, Prism, Tempora, X-Keyscore, Boundless Informant. Hey, y'all, Scott Horton here for offnow.org. Now, here's the deal. Due to the Snowden revelations, we have a great opportunity for a short period of time to get some real rollback of the national surveillance state. Now, they're already trying to tire us by introducing fake reforms in the Congress. And the courts, they betrayed their sworn oaths to the Constitution and Bill of Rights again and again, and can in no way be trusted to stop the abuses for us. We've got to do it ourselves. How? We nullify it at the state level. It's still not easy, but the OffNow project of the 10th Amendment Center has gotten off to a great start. I mean it. There's real reason to be optimistic here. They've gotten their model legislation introduced all over the place, in state after state. I've lost count, more than a dozen. You're always wondering, yeah, but what can we do? Here's something. Something important. Something that can work if we do the work. Get started cutting off the NSA support in your state. Go to offnow.org.
All right, you guys, welcome back to the show. I'm Scott Horton. I'm talking with Philip Weiss from MondoWeiss.net. And, of course, you can find Max Blumenthal and Alex Kane and all kinds of different people writing over there as well. Annie Robinson. All right, now, Phil, let me ask you about this. It's a controversial kind of thing, and I guess, again, I'm asking you not necessarily for cold hard facts, unless you got some great, you know, quotes and footnotes or something like that, but maybe more I'm asking for your impression of what you think is going on here, and that's the question of precision strikes that happen to kill a lot of kids because there's a lot of kids around, or whether perhaps the policy is, like it sort of seems on its face, to be to kill the kids, to target families and to destroy them in order to terrorize the parents of the dead kids into changing their politics from Hamas to something else. What do you think?
I guess I, you know, you can't be sure in these circumstances. And Richard Goldstone, the last time around, when did a major report on it and said Israel was targeting civilians, then retracted that allegation later. I think what's happening, my best judgment here, is that Israel is showing complete disregard for civilians who are near Hamas targets. That's basically what's going on. They're targeting Hamas militants or officials whom they regard as bad actors, and they are showing not any care for whether civilians are in the area, in the house, etc. And in some cases, so I don't think that they are willfully trying to kill children. I think they understand that there is a liability in that in a lot of ways, including it's war crime. I mean, they're making a lot of war crimes. But I think the war crime that they are guilty of is showing a lack of discrimination, lack of a sense of proportion when they are going after a Hamas target.
Yeah, but what about hitting these UN schools and these refugee camps and all this stuff?
You know, I think that once again they would say that there are rockets being fired from nearby or whatever, but I think that rockets have been stored in schools. I think they're just showing contempt for civilian life when they're going after a military target. And in some cases, I don't think they're being that precise. That's just the nature of their operation. And now, to be clear, there have been some documented instances of actual revenge killings of civilians. And when there was a massacre last week in Shujaia outside of Gaza City, 60 people were killed. Apparently, that followed on a bunch of Israeli soldiers being killed the day before. So in that case, I think you can, and there's evidence that they were shooting at civilians who were trying to find their families. So in that case, they blame the neighborhood for the fact that there are Hamas strongholds in that neighborhood. So I think that there are cases that are closer to your second model, which is, hey, you folks are Hamas sympathizers, we're going to blow you all up. I guess there is evidence of that in, you know, a few instances, or a couple of instances anyway. Mm-hmm.
Well, and nothing unique to Israel. I mean, they would just be copying America's policy toward Iraq, for one example, or, you know, I guess
Well, remind me, how much of that did we, how many civilians did we go after in Iraq?
Well, Bill Clinton starved and strangled about a million of them to death, half of them children, of course, famously said it was worth it, and what it was worth it, the policy explicitly was to make the people, the civilians of Iraq, so desperate that they would revolt, they would blame Saddam and revolt against him, which, of course, made no sense, but didn't
collective
matter.
Punishment. And you know,
I'm sure you saw that article in the Daily Beast where the guy Jesse Rosenfeld, is it?
Jesse Rosenfeld, good guy.
Yeah, Rosenfeld. He says, he quotes a professor here. I don't believe he's being critical. I think he's just explaining the rationale, saying that, well, you know, we're trying to create enough Palestinian suffering so the Gazans will rise up against Hamas or force the leaders to come to terms with Israel, on Israel's terms, obviously.
They're crazy. They're crazy. Yeah. So, and then someone else is saying, I see Peter Beinart saying, well, we have to empower the people in Palestinian life who want to reject Hamas and recognize Israel. Well, good luck. You're not going to do it through this kind of conduct. You know, you're going to empower Hamas. That's what's happening here. And furthermore, I want to say I was at a pro-Israel rally 2 days ago in New York City, and I heard the president of the New York Board of Rabbis, David Seth Kirshner, he said, if you voted for Hamas, you can be killed. So he said, his quote was, if you participated in an election process in which Hamas was elevated, i.e. the election in 2006, then you are not a civilian. So that would justify killing anyone who supported Hamas.
Yeah, and which, of course, they don't know who all voted for Hamas. What they mean is blank check for collective guilt of everyone in Gaza, whatever age they were at voting time 2006 and whatever ballot they cast.
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
And that's what they mean about all this human shields thing. You know, it's not very thin propaganda where they're, you know, on one hand, they're just blaming Hamas. You know, on the surface, they're blaming Hamas for getting the kids killed. But what they're really doing is they're writing themselves a permission slip. They're saying, therefore, it's okay for us to go ahead and shoot, because what are we supposed to do? All of our targets are hidden by human shields, so hidden behind them, so we have to go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's highly indiscriminate. And you know, if it were Jews, if these people were terrorists operating in a Jewish neighborhood, they would never be so ham-handed and sort of haphazard. They would be they would go in and they would take a lot more risks. But no, these are Palestinians, so they don't count.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And of course, you take this entire situation and pretend that the history had gone the other way for a minute, that this is now the Jews of Palestine are rounded up in the Gaza concentration camp and treated this way by the Palestinian Christians and Arabs. Holy crap, would there be a war going on right now?
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, of course.
Can you imagine?
Of course. Yeah.
It's like, hey, that would be wrong. What the hell?
Right, but you see people, Richard Cohen in the Washington Post saying Israelis are the real victims here. Excuse me? You know? They're the victims? It's nuts.
Well, it's back to what you're saying about how desperate they're getting. You know you're losing when John Kerry in Israel's defense has to say, you know, all of Israel's under siege right now by Gaza. Or just, come on now, John.
Right, right.
You and I both know that ain't quite the way it is, you know?
But you see the changes in the mainstream media that I see.
Sure. I was just going to ask you, did you see the clip of Andrea Mitchell asking the Israeli ambassador whether Israel is losing its soul over this?
Oh, no. When did she say that?
I guess it was yesterday.
I'll
email you the link.
Wow,
here.
That's great.
I'll tweet it to you. It's a Mediaite link. And
great.
He says, no, of course not. We're being so restrained and we're only doing what we have to do and whatever. But she actually seems pretty concerned that she's heard some opposing points of view here lately, and she's wondering whether there might be anything to them.
You know, I think what's essential to understand here is that, you know, Andrea Mitchell, who, for all I know, I suspect is a Zionist at heart, you know, that she believes in the need for a Jewish state. Like many people in the media, many Jews in the media, she believes in it. I don't. I'm a Jew in the media. I don't believe in it. But I think that she is an American, and she sees things from an American perspective, and this is a different country. They believe all this stuff. They believe all this crap. And this is the great thing about this conflict, is that Americans are seeing these people are nuts. They do not understand what they're doing. They have convinced themselves that it's a national psychosis about we're under attack, and we don't have to subscribe to it anymore. And that is the great thing about Andrea Mitchell's question. So I think that's going to be happening on a much broader basis. And, you know, then these people will have to look back and say, well, when did Israel lose its soul? Maybe it had something to do with ethnically cleansing 700,000 people to form the state in the first place and then make a declaration of independence, of equality at when it was when the state was announced. So there's no equality there. There's never been equality there.
Yeah. Well, it seems like if they even tried to have an honest peace process this whole time since the end of the Cold War era, for example, even taking into account 67, you can only go back with your counterfactual so far, right? But say at the end of the Cold War with Oslo and this and that, if they'd actually just gone ahead and given up the West Bank and Gaza and tried to have a peaceful, let's get along kind of attitude, an honest one, how different things could have been, you know?
Take the money and run. They didn't do it. Now they're losing.
Yep. There you go. All right, y'all. That's the great Philip Weiss. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks,
I sure appreciate it, Philip.
Okay.
All right. That's MondoWeiss.net, guys. MondoWeiss.net and at MondoWeiss, of course, on Twitter as well. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
Hey, you own a business? Maybe we should consider advertising on the show. See if we can make a little bit of money. My email address is scott@scotthorton.org. You hate government, one of them libertarian types, or maybe you just can't stand the president, gun grabbers, or warmongers. Me too. That's why I invented LibertyStickers.com. Well, Rick owns it now, and I didn't make up all of them, but still, if you're driving around and want to tell everyone else how wrong their politics are, there's only one place to go. LibertyStickers.com has got your bumper covered. Left, right, libertarian, empire, police state, founders quote, central banking. Yes, bumper stickers about central banking. Lots of them. And, well, everything that matters. LibertyStickers.com. Everyone else's stickers suck. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here for The Future of Freedom, the monthly journal of the Future Freedom Foundation at fff.org/subscribe. Since 1989, FFF has been pushing an uncompromising moral and economic case for peace, individual liberty, and free markets. Sign up now for The Future Freedom, featuring founder and president Jacob Hornberger, as well as Sheldon Richmond, James Bovard, Anthony Gregory, Wendy McElroy, and many more. It's just $25 a year for the print edition, $15 per year to read it online. That's fff.org/subscribe. And tell them Scott sent you. Hey, I'm Scott Horton here to tell you about this great new book by Michael Swanson, The War State. In The War State, Swanson examines how Presidents Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy both expanded and fought to limit the rise of the new national security state after World War II. If this nation is ever to live up to its creed of liberty and prosperity for everyone, we are going to have to abolish the empire. Know your enemy. Get The War State by Michael Swanson. It's available at your local bookstore or at Amazon.com in Kindle or in paperback. Just click the book in the right margin at scotthorton.org or thewarstate.com.